This is the early retirement AU, version 2.0. A Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic oral notfic, read by Rena Jenkins. Or not read, I'm just narrating shit. This is probably somewhere between PG-13 and R, with implications of planet-wide violence. Additional tags for Lady Revan, alternate universe starting from Terrace. Fuck video games, I can't get off Terrace while playing Knights of the Old Republic 1, and that's why this AU exists. Amnesia, found family, crime, doing crime like a boss. And the original version of this oral notfic was recorded while I was definitely not fully awake and had some beautiful moments, but also some complete incoherency. So let's try this round two. As part of Drop the Knot 2022. So the idea I had was, you start the game, you wake up, you are an amnesiac who's in your underpants wandering around a spaceship under attack, and your friend, Tresk Olgo, walks in and says that he's your bunkmate from another shift, and everything is under attack, and oops, we are actually Republic soldiers, and don't ask too many hard questions, because we have to evacuate. And you're sort of like bumbling around not knowing what's going on as Revan, right? That's where the game is. And then the first big thing that happens after gameplay of trying to escape the ship and learning how your keys work is you end up in an escape pod. Revan, we're doing this as the story of Revan, not the story of you, reader insert. Revan winds up in an escape pod, sort of hurtling towards the surface of the nearby planet Terrace. And the reason that you are hurtling towards the planet is because the ship that she's on is under attack by the Leviathan, Darth Malak's flagship, because Darth Malak is after Bastil the Shan, the Jedi's big main weapon. Revan doesn't know that yet, but that is the backstory which informs everything else that's about to go down. Revan wakes up with additional head trauma on top of her amnesia in a room with Karth Onassi, who is one of the few remaining Republic soldiers from your ship that you just evacuated, who's not dead. And Karth is like, we had Bastil the Shan. She is the last hope of the Republic. She's somewhere on this planet, and we totally have to rescue her and go back. However, in the course of attempting to figure out what the fuck is going on, because I don't know what's going on around me, I don't know where I am, and I am injured, Revan starts sort of poking her way around the planet of Terrace and sees some significant inequalities within the planet proper. You have a very legitimately, non-metaphorically stratified social structure within the planet. You have the people on the surface who can see the sky and are, middling to exceedingly wealthy. You have the people in the lower levels who cannot see the sky, and it is sort of two rival swoop gangs holding control over most of the middle levels of the planet, where I'm not wealthy enough to see the sky, but I might not be the poorest people live. And then you have the lower levels, where you will never have enough money, essentially, to ascend. And that part of the city is not being maintained, and there is a fuck ton of plague going around that literally causes body horror metamorphosis from I am a person to I am a mindless monster that is trying to kill my loved ones and then myself. So as Revan goes through her adventures, she sort of finds these different levels of Terrace, and it starts to eat at the back of her head a little bit. She's going along with Karth's, we must rescue Bastila and return to the Republic, because she doesn't really have any other plans going on, but I definitely see this story going, well, I don't remember being a Republic soldier. I remember being told I'm a Republic soldier, but I don't remember why. I don't have a deep and abiding love for serving, you know, king and country or whatever for the Republic. And I kind of see Revan being like, look, the more I get involved with Terris as I attempt to rescue Bastila, the more I'm like, I don't want to go back to an active war front. And sort of being like, look, if it means I'm a deserter, then I'm a deserter. They already think I'm dead. Meaning Revan as her amnesiac self, who has a name that I haven't figured out. That's totally on you, person who is listening to this. Pick your own name, but the assigned name that does not ring true to her kind of deal. That person is dead in the Republic's eyes because the ship went down with almost all hands, and Karth has not been able to get in contact with any major Republic intelligence officer because the Leviathan and Darth Malak in the sky overhead has put a blockade on Terris. Terris is also a Sith Empire-occupied planet. Skyward side, there are Sith Empire, essentially cop outposts, that Malak has instructed to find the Jedi Bastila Shan. So not only is Karth and Revan trying to find Bastila, but they're also trying to avoid being found by the Sith as they attempt to rescue her as well. So you got a couple different things going on here. Turns out, Bastila, when she fell planet side, got picked up by one of the swoop gangs, and they were like, nice. They don't necessarily fully recognize that she is Bastila Shan of, like, war fame, because I feel like if they did, they would attempt to ransom her back to the Sith as, like, you know, that's a significant ransom right there. Instead, they're using her as a prize for today's big race kind of thing. Like, you get a Force-sensitive slave, but we don't fully know the value of. And so the gameplay plan is to go undercover with the Vulkars, which is one of the swoop gangs that is the more palatable swoop gang. Go undercover as one of their agents, race with their colors, and when you win, get Bastila as your prize and just run off with her. However, Revan's got head trauma. She's seeing double. She should not be operating heavy machinery, much less racing on a hover bicycle, trying not to die. So in this AU, Karth races. Karth races, possibly. Revan is also force sensitive, but because of the amnesia, she doesn't know it. So maybe she's like closing her eyes and wishing really hard that like Karth will get safe. And so she does something that like, either it's just the right twist at the right moment and it lets the Nas out and lets the throttle and that's why he wins. Or maybe she's like clenching so hard that she, you know, she throttles the something something engine parts intake valve on one of his competitors and knocks them out of the running. Somehow, Revan accidentally force enables Karth to win the race, but he doesn't know because he doesn't know that this is a Force-sensitive person. He just thinks this is a Republic soldier who has, you know, fallen to planet side just like him. And Karth rescues Bastila and brings her back to the, they get, you know what? They get separated. Karth brings Bastila back to the apartment on the upper level and thinks he's going to meet up with Amnesiac Revan and they're all going to escape together. However, they get separated and Revan's not able to go back. And eventually, because there's such heat on Revan, on Bastila and Karth from the escape, they just don't wait around. He's sorry for leaving a Republic soldier behind, but you know what? She has a comm. She can call home as soon as the blockade lifts. The blockade will only lift once they get Bastila off planet. So you know what? It's really something that he's doing to save her. He leaves her behind. Karth and Bastila go through their plan to steal Davik Kang's ship, which is like the only one that can beat the blockade. And in doing so, accidentally piss off the significantly grumpy crime lord of the upper levels of Terrace, Davit Kang, by stealing his ship right out from under him in his house. Essentially, they break into his home, hotwire his car from his garage, and drive through the wall of his garage while playing the radio out all the windows. So they're not subtle about breaking the blockade. Karth's a pilot. Bastila has the Force. And you know what? Karth is just like, you know what? If I believe hard enough, the Force makes anything possible. So they break the blockade. They're not subtle about it, as I mentioned. So Malik sees them and goes tearing after Bastila Shan because she's not sneaking at all. However, Davit Kang, who has been holding the rest of the upper levels of Planet of Terrace in his stranglehold of a grip, you know, his crime empire is strangling all the other crime empires, can't let this affront to his position stand. Because if any of the other lower level crime gangs see that this person could upend his, you know, you stole my ride, then that sets a precedent for the natural order of things. He has to get them back and make them pay for it. So Davit Kang sends a bunch of his guys after Karth and Bastila. Which means that not only is the Sith Empire's attention now turned away from Terrace, but the major overwhelming crime boss character is turned away from Terrace as well. Which leaves, due to their inattention, a hole in the natural order of things. And this is where we get to the retirement part of the AU. During her investigation and, you know, this is the part of the game that I do actually quite like. You go into other people's houses and you mug them and you steal their stuff and that's how you get credits. And it doesn't even give you dark side points. You totally get, like, you don't get light side or dark side points for going up to someone, shaking them down, stealing their shit, looting their house. Okay? That gives me a lot of, I killed you and I stole your clothes. That gives me a lot of joy for that. Anyway. So Revan's been doing that while she's attempting to outfit herself because she's literally woken up with just the clothes on her back and they're kind of, it's a little bit like Slave Leia bikini underpants underneath her outfit. And she's got like one knife, you know, not great. So in her endeavors to outfit herself as she's going through this and insinuating herself into the Volcars, she meets a lovely 13 to 15 year old blue Twi'lek named Mission. And I love Mission. Mission is that child from the, what do you got there? A knife! Only the mom doesn't say no. The mom says, have a second knife. In this case, Mission is the baby and Revan is the, let me give you another knife. In the Undercity, Revan meets up with Mission, and essentially, in this AU, and also in the gameplay, sees this child and says, I love you. You are mine. Come with me. And Revan's a little bit like, you know, I can't necessarily take care of myself, but also I can't just leave you to take care of your own self alone. And Mission's kind of like, I don't need a mom. You're not my mom, but also you're pretty cool. So, something, shenanigans, sass, some kind of witty banter and making themselves both seem interesting to the other party between Revan and Mission. And then while Revan is doing further exploring of the undercity, the lower city, I have forgotten the names for which level of the city is which. Hang on. Okay, I did a Wikipedia. All right, so you've got the upper city, which is where you can see the sky. You've got the middle city and the lower city, which is where the middle class and then the sort of poorer people, but also racer gangs and lower level crime happens. And then you have the undercity, which is like the closest to the actual planet's surface and Taurus is one of those planets where, like, kind of like Coruscant, you build upward and upward and upward, and eventually you stop thinking about the foundation that's holding up the rest of the planet. And the Undercity also has the plague of the rock ghouls, which is, there is a cure for on the upper levels, but there's like, well, there's a little bit of, well, if they're down there, they deserve it. And a little bit of, if we distribute this cure, then it will upset the social order of things. I won't be the wealthy and privileged anymore if other people can be too, right? So there's a little bit of that. And in this AU, Revan is like, fuck that shit. Leaving people to turn into mindless slavering beasts that then bite you and continue turning more people into that, and all that keeps them from us is like a single elevator, is bad policy. So eventually, this AU, Revan is going to distribute the cure to the Rat Ghoul Plague and save the Undercity and upend the entire social order of everything. Okay, so we've got Revan. She's hooked up with Mission at least once. They are on each other's radars as cool people to have as a resource. Revan goes down to the Undercity for gameplay reasons. Fill this part in on your own. And runs into Mission again. Mission is scavenging and scrapping. And Zalbar, Mission's best friend, the teenage Wookiee, has been taken by slavers. One of the gangs in the lower city is more just like, we're toughs and you have to pay us protection money or we'll break your storefront. And one of the gangs is, if you don't pay us protection money, we will kidnap you from your home and sell you to other people off planet. And then, well then, that's why you should have paid us money. So, the non-Volkar gang, whose name I've also forgotten and I don't have time to Wikipedia this anymore, has taken Zalbar as a slave because possibly Zalbar and Mission are part of the Volkars and they're enemies. So the other gang is like, well, you know what? We'll make a statement here. We lost our big prize to an agent of the Volkars, the big prize being Mastila. And nobody's really explaining that Karth wasn't really a Volkar. And so in retaliation, we're taking one of your big guns. We're taking your Wookiee and we're going to sell him off planet. So Mission enlists Revan to help her rescue Zalbar, and they have to fight past other rat ghouls, which on the one hand, it's sad that this was a person that you just killed, but on the other hand, you're trying to kill me and there's no reasoning and there's no way to turn them back. The cure only works if you've been infected but have not yet turned, and you're essentially in quarantine waiting until the day you die. But Revan doesn't know that yet. Anyway, so they fight a bunch of rat ghouls. They end up in the big fight, Revan and Mission and Zalbar, against the Rancor that they have to get past in order to escape. And like book one of Harry Potter, there are some things, if you face it together, you have to be friends. And in this case, the Mountain Troll is a slavering monster that wants to bite through your spine and chew you. So then they make it out of the Undercity and into the Lower City. And Revan is still wearing Volkar colors because of the whole, we need somebody to take care of, to get at Bastila thing that went down. And the leader of the Volkars still thinks Revan is looking for, you know, protection and an inn. And what are the reasons you join a gang in the first place, right? But he's also blind, I think. And there's some implication that, like, because of his injury, his hold on the gang is weak. Excuse me. And then there's, like, the possibility that the rival gang will take advantage of that and overthrow his position in the gang. But there's also the possibility that internally there could be an upheaval. And perhaps Rezn uses that as her words. Fuck. Perhaps Revan uses that as her in into the gang. I'm supporting you. I'm making my way from the bottom to the top, and I'm insinuating myself, maybe not for a complete hostile takeover coup situation, but like, ultimately, a good way to have a a staging point to change the literal entire social order of the planet is within the Volcar's network as a leapfrogging point. Especially considering that Davik Kang has taken most of his forces off-world chasing Bastila and Karth. So everyone in the lower city and the middle city is noticing that the big crime lord who's had a stranglehold on all other crime on the planet has left. And he's left because someone literally stuck their thumb in his eye. So, like, there's some maneuvering within the, you know, there's jostling within the order of the ranks and rank of power within the planet. And then this is the part where Revan was a charismatic motherfucker comes into play. Because even though she doesn't really remember who she is, like, there are still things about you that are intrinsic to who you are. And she has that ability to be persuasive and, like, kind of, it's not necessarily the force making you do things, but if she's like, look, I need something, and she's not careful, she's putting that out there into the world, and the force is her best friend, and she may not be able to acknowledge it right now because she doesn't know she's a force user and she doesn't know what she's missing, but that doesn't mean that the ability stops. So it's not like mesmerizing, it's not like full-on mind control, but like, maybe when I talk, you want to do what I say. My idea sounds better. My words sound more vibrant. And it's just that little extra bit of charisma that persuades people to go along with Revan. And also, like, she phrases it as, I want what's better for the people around me. I'm on Terrace. I cannot afford to live in the upper city. I'm going to run out of neighbors to keep mugging to pay my apartment rent. And the people I know live in the middle city, live in the lower city. And the protection I'm being offered is from a gang in the middle lower city. So I want to make life better for the people in the middle lower city so they will continue to support me, right? Is sort of her perspective on this. And it's a little bit like the vibes of the lower city versus the undercity, because they are neighbors with just that one elevator keeping the monsters away. Is a little bit not in my backyard, kind of. And like, I'm better than them because I'm not them, kind of thing. But also Revan manages to convince enough people that like, this is also a danger to us, right? What we have to do is cure the rat ghoul plague in order to expand our own prosperity. And the way to cure the rat ghoul plague, and also to boost our own prosperity, is to expand the Volcar's range. And the way to do that is to either take out the rival gang, or, because Davik Kang's not looking, go full coup. So while Karth and Bastila are jagging through space, trying to ditch Malik and get themselves to Dantooine in order to get to the Jedi Enclave, Bastila doesn't know Revan lived. Because of the head trauma that Revan experienced when she was landing on planetside, and because of the neural inhibitor that she was wearing, that Bastila was wearing for such a long time while she was being held captive, their force bond is fucky. Revan isn't picking up Bastila's memories, and Bastila is both far enough away and compromised right now building her own shields because of the neural inhibitor that she's not picking up Revan. So she thinks, you know what? I tried to save Revan. We tried to do the mind wipe. The ship went down. At least Revan didn't die at the hand of the Jedi. At least I didn't do it. We're still the good guys. Our hands are still clean. So Bastila is like kind of skewing it that way and doesn't know to keep looking. And Karth doesn't know this Republic soldier is Revan. So nobody comes back for Terrace. So we've got Revan, who is somewhere in the Volker gang, attempting to rise her own star. And she has the incredible strategic mind, and she's seeing in the immediate vicinity, my star could be on the rise because there are holes in the power structure on the planet around me. I want to make this a planet worth living on because I don't want to go back to the Republic soldier and die. I don't mind being a deserter if it means I get to live. I want to be comfortable, and I can see the way the cards are laid out, kind of thing. I can see which single domino to flick in order to, like, get the whole 17,000 domino pattern, you know? It's that kind of thing. So she's in the Volkars at the lower level, but due to her ability to be persuasive, points out sort of the intricacies of what's going on right now. How do we beat our competition? How do we make our lives safer? How do we get more money in our own pockets? Well, we keep paying a tithe to Davik Kang. He's not home right now. It's the perfect time for a coup, because by the time he comes back, he will be... If we wait till he comes back, he will have established his stronghold, and he will clench his fist tighter in retaliation to one person getting things over him. So we have to strike now. And she does sort of the... It is a scene that is reminiscent of the Revan and Alec on Dantooine Revan kissed speech, and rallies the people behind her kind of thing. And it's a little bit like, you know what, you can on the Volker side, it's a little bit like, I will commit just enough people to this that it won't cripple me when you all die, but also if you manage to win, then I will come out ahead, kind of thing. She's new enough that, like, if she dies, whatever, it's no skin off his back, whose name I've also forgotten. And she's, but it's like, this is something, this is a prize that, like, if I have it, I want it, you know? So it ends up being Revan and Mission and Zalbar, and maybe it's just like, just them. Revan is an unknown, but who billed herself as a getaway driver. Zalbar's the muscle. Mission is the slicer. She can get in and out of any system. And on their way towards attempting to do some kind of coup, perhaps take out Davik Kang's network or spike some Volkar data gathering intel into his system so that they can do something with that information, see where his fingers are. Zevin. I guess that's the ship name, but that's not really what I'm there for. Revan and Mission and Zalbar run into Candorous Ordo, who is a mercenary Mandalorian. And in the game, there's sort of the implied backstory that Candorous Ordo was high enough within the Mandalorian forces during the Mandalorian War about 15 years ago that he would have fought Revan directly. And for a Mandalorian, a good fighter is a good way to be. And Candorous is like, look, my last paycheck came from Davik Kang, but I don't have any personal loyalty to him because he's kind of an asshole. And he's not here, and he shorted me on my last paycheck. So, personal interest, I want to fuck that fucker. In a bad way, not in a actually corny way. In a fuck you and your mother kind of way. So possibly, because Revan is like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, or possibly because she recognizes something about this Mandalorian in a way that resonates, but she doesn't fully understand why he resonates. Oh, Candorous Ordo has Beskar armor. Beskar armor resonates funky in the Force. Revan doesn't fully understand or even is aware of her own Force abilities, but something about him is intriguing to her, so she wants to take him home with her. Something. Somehow, Candorous ends up getting guestage into... you're my guest hostage. Guestaged into the attempt to overthrow Davik Kang, etc., etc. However, there's also still the Sith Empire cops stranglehold on the upper city. So eventually, Devaking is going to come back. He's going to find out that he's been sort of shuffled off to the side and is no longer in charge on Terrace. And he's going to be grumpy as shit. So he may end up trying to enlist the local Sith boss. Whose name I've also forgotten. It's been like 8 months since I've attempted to play this game again because I keep losing to the Sith boss, and it's like, fuck you! Anyway, Devaking shows up and he's like, look, the criminal element of the Undercity is rising and we don't like it. We must work together to establish our hold again on this planet. And the weird thing about the Sith Empire, I've headcanoned, and I don't remember if the game actually says anything or not about this, is that the initial Sith Empire were all planets and people who followed Revan after she won the Mandalorian Wars for the Republic. They were Revankists. They are planets that she personally saved from the Mandalorian Empire. There was great loyalty to Revan and Alec. And then they went into the wild space, accidentally Sithified themselves, came home, and were like, you know what? All these planets already have loyalty to us. We are going to make our own power base. We're going to make the Sith Empire. And early days planets, I feel, were very much, we are following your personality. We are following your ideology. You already proved you can win. We're going to side with you. Later days towards the current period of the timeline, when Darth Malak and Darth Revan are kind of on an expansionist kick of the Sith Empire. Later additions to the Empire are kind of, you have been forcibly conquered, not you sided with me deliberately. And I don't remember which one of those planets Terrace is. I think it's a we sided with Revan, came on board early days planet, because Revan and Alec, pre-Dark Side, saved the people of Terrace from the Mandalorians. So like, but the current higher ups or current mid-level bureaucrats of the Sith Empire are people who follow Malak's, now he's a Darth, forcible conquering, forcible colonization of planets thing. So like, the Sith strongholds proper on Terrace are in a weird position because some of the people staffing this were like, well, we believed in the beginning of the Sith Empire because you saved us. But some of the people who were like, you know, the bosses of the bases are Darth Malak's toadies. So like, you could have a fun, interesting, corrupt you from the inside attempt to either boot or overthrow the Sith Empire. But either way, eventually, Malak is going to turn his attention back to Terrace. He doesn't know that Revan is still alive, though. So, what happens when Darth Malak turns his attention back to that one stupid little planet that's being a stupid little thorn in his side because some stupid little crime boss decided to overthrow the way of things? And in the grand scheme of things, it's just one little planet. It's not a big deal, but it sets a precedent. What happens when some muckety-muck bothers their boss, eventually it gets to Malak's ear? Does he show up on Terrace to see his ex-girlfriend running a crime boss situation, inter-gang warfare on this planet? Or does he ignore it? And then Revan goes on to be a competent crime boss and essentially turn protection racket into pay your taxes to me. And also overthrow the very codified, stratified interclass system and save the people of the Undercity and cure the plague and live a very comfortable life Al Caponing it up. I don't know. But basically, what happens if Revan never gets off of Terrace? Because I'm fucking stuck. The end.